All right, let me see. Like my father before me, cougar-like reflexes, lightning speed agility, six-pack abs, but with a great personality. To be able to write like Aaron Sorkin or dance like Michael Jackson with the timing of Nate Bargatze, but with six-pack abs. If you don't know me, my name is Daryl Buckle. I have the distinct privilege of being part of the Meeting House staff at the Waterloo Region. Huge shout out to all of my friends in Waterloo. But whether you are here in the room watching this on YouTube or maybe catching this from one of our other sites, I'm talking about Ottawa or Toronto or Sandbanks or Alliston, Richmond Hill, Newmarket, Parry Sound or my hometown, The Hammer. You know, we don't see this enough. We should say it way more often. We love that you guys are here. It's a thrill to have you with us each week. So this morning we're continuing our series called The Path on spiritual practices for the Jesus way of life. And for the last number of weeks, we've been taking our time walking through some practices, rhythms, habits that you can work into your week. And when you do that, these things have the power to change what your relationship with Jesus looks like. They have the power to change what your life looks like. And so this week, we're talking about joy and generosity, right? Yes, joy and generosity, I'm telling you, are like right at the top of my list of everything that I want to be with six-pack abs. And just so you know, I know, people don't often think about Daryl Buckle when they think about six-pack abs. But people don't often think about joy when they think about generosity. So here we are, and we're going to talk about it. Joy and generosity are actually deeply connected. From the cocktail of feel-good chemicals that your brain produces every time you share your crackers to the amazing friendships that you cultivate out of simple acts of kindness. You might think this goes without being said, but I think Jesus was right. Like, it's way more blessed to give than to receive. I think he was being honest when he said that I love a cheerful giver. Joy and generosity have always been deeply connected, and I want to be known for that. So I don't know if you know this, the Queen of Christmas, Mariah Carey, has a range of 5 octaves. That's pretty cool. Robin Williams once ran a 34-21 10K. Like, that's proper quick. I once knew a guy who could lick his elbow. You go ahead and try that when you get home. I don't know what's on your list, but on my list, joy and generosity. And I know as soon as I said that, some of you thought, here we go, should have stayed home. Yeah, listen, some of you actually were cleaning out your closet this week and you found a giant bag of generosity, but it didn't spark joy, so you put it in the donate pile. Some of us have a complicated relationship with joy. That's true. It's not just you. Psalm 137 says, "Beside the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought about Jerusalem." Here it is. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a strange land? Yeah, it's not just you. Germans actually have a word for this, Sehnsucht, a profound, even a visceral longing when you find yourself in a strange land. It's that feeling of being homesick. Surprisingly, C.S. Lewis described this deep yearning of the soul, but he recognized it as part of joy. So it's out of this yearning that comes the theological definition of joy. It's really only out of this deep yearning that we can understand or experience for ourselves true joy. Black liberation theologian Willie James Jennings said, "Whenever you face any of the things that choke the life out of you, it's joy. That's what you need." He actually called joy an act of resistance against despair in all forms. Maybe I just captioned your life right there. Despair in all forms. Man, I hope that's not you. And I really am glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're watching online. You haven't scrolled through on YouTube yet. As much as we would all love for our lives to be characterized, known only for joy, some of us have had to walk long stretches of the path, right? Where it feels like joy is maybe lost somewhere out ahead. And if you're honest, At some point in your life, maybe you've been tempted to stop listening to people who tell you, just keep going. Joy's just around the next bend. I'll tell you the other thing at the top of my list is that I want to be a reliable trail guide for people like you who are maybe wondering if you can trust guides who tell you that there's only good around the next bend. Especially when it comes to this, joy and generosity. So we're going to talk about it today, joy and generosity. First, joy, and then what does generosity have to do with all this anyways? Like we said, we've been spending the last number of weeks talking about spiritual practices. Some people don't often think about joy as something that you practice as part of the path. I'm telling you, joy is in every way the same, but yet fundamentally different from other spiritual practices. What do I mean by that? In week one, Laura told us that no matter what spiritual discipline we're talking about, it's not the discipline itself that's the end goal, of course. We're not trying to be experts in prayer or experts in fasting. These disciplines themselves are not the end goal. They're tools that lead us into the presence of God. But joy doesn't fit quite so nicely into that definition. Yeah, joy's different. John 15, as you might know, Jesus gives his famous metaphor for the life of faith, the life of spiritual growth. Maybe you remember this. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And he says, remain or abide in me as I also remain in you. Because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So John 15 tells us there's really two secrets to flourishing and flowering and fruitfulness, right? Spiritual practices of training and of pruning. So training, I hope you know this, is when you do or you keep doing hard things, right? Things that help you grow. Pruning is when you cut back or cut out altogether other seemingly harmless things sometimes just because they are keeping you from flourishing or flowering or bearing fruit. N.T. Wright says, left to themselves, people are like plants. They grow straggled and tangled, and they can even get to the point where they choke out their own light. But if you train them and if you prune them, people grow in every way towards the picture of human flourishing with all sorts of flowers and fruit. So without training, without pruning, your six-pack disappears, hair starts growing out your ears. But with training and with pruning, you become that picture of human flourishing. That sound good to you? This is where it gets good. Verse 11, Jesus says, I have told you this. What's this? All of this, all that we just talked about, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Did you see that? Like, joy's different. Yeah, in John 15, Jesus centers joy, not just as a practice, but as part of the great telos of the path itself, the result, the reason behind all of the work that you're doing to cultivate that intimacy with Christ, all of the things that you're practicing now that help you stay connected to the vine, growing in the faith. Joy gives purpose to all of that training and all that pruning that you experience as you're walking in the way of Jesus. Is that crazy? He says, I've told you this. Why? This is Jesus on telos. So when you ask, and you will inevitably ask, Jesus, where are you going with this? Like, what is going on with what you're putting me through in my life? I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So if joy is Jesus' goal, why would God put us through so much nonsense, right? I'm talking training and pulling and pruning and repotting and cutting me down and caging me up. It's like he literally plants some of us in giant piles of crap. Yeah, it's not nonsense. It's not. My wife's got a bit of a basement grow up. Shelves and trays, lights on timers. It is exactly what you're thinking. Tomatoes and flowers and stuff like that. She makes me build her all these shelves. It is quite the operation. And I'll tell you the part I am most skeptical about. She's got a fan set up, pointed right at all of these delicate little plants that she keeps running all the time. Yeah, I know I'm talking to somebody. It's not nonsense. My wife is a good gardener. She loves her plants and she wants them to be able to flourish and flower and bear all sorts of fruit in all sorts of weather. And so she trains them, right? Yeah, she knows that before the fruit, there's going to be some weather. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The path that we're stumbling along and climbing some days is about perfecting joy in you and perfecting you for joy. And I know some of you can't see it yet, but man, you're just one season away, maybe a few steps away from the joy that's up ahead. So if I'm reading this right, Jesus says joy is both the reason and the reward. So let's follow that. Let's flip back to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 is where Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. Now, despite being part of a commonwealth, we don't have a lot of kingdom or kingly kind of metaphors within our semantic range or grasp. And so I like the language that we use around here at the meeting house, the Jesus-centered life, because both of these things kind of ask and answer the same question. What's the kingdom of God like? What does the Jesus-centered life look like? Same question. And the answer, it's like this. Matthew 25, 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted all of his wealth to them. This is the best of all that he, our creator, had worked so hard to celebrate or to create all of these good gifts, and he gave it to them. And then he went on a journey. And the idea is that he would come back one day from this journey, kind of like that homecoming we were talking about. Everybody would gather around and they would share stories about all the great things they had done with his wealth, that wealth, all the good gifts that the master had given to them. And if you read it, you know, those who proved faithful through the good times and the hard times, at the end of their story, hear the master say that phrase, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Here comes. Enter the joy of your master." You know, people ask me sometime, and I'll tell you, I think this is true. I think that when people catch a vision for this, for the kingdom life, the Jesus-centered life, they seem somehow to be able to reflect this unquenchable quality of joy. No matter how much work they had to put in just to make the ends meet sometimes, or to actually see the fruit that they've been working so hard to cultivate, I'm talking about long nights under grow lights with dirt and with fans, and maybe I'm talking to you today, and you know this, if it's you, there's a reason you're still doing it. There's a reason you haven't quit. There's a reason God can trust you with what feels like not enough or just barely enough. There's a reason you're generous with what little you have left. And that reason, you know it, it's the joy. It's the joy. It's the reason and it's the reward. If you're weary, I'm telling you, there is joy up ahead. And friends, joy and generosity, man, that's it for me. It's the top of my list. I want to be known for joy and generosity. Jesus used the word joy to describe the path. I don't want to ruin the ending for you, but at the end of the path, there is joy. And some days knowing what's coming next might be enough. Yeah, on some days, the joy that exists, you know, entirely in the future will be that invisible gravity that pulls you down the path today. The author of Hebrews talks about that. Jesus, in verse 12, Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Yeah, that means that on his best day and on his worst day, you know, the day when Jesus endured the cross, it was for the joy set before him, the joy just up ahead. You probably know this. People can endure a lot if there's joy on the horizon, right? Yeah, you'd be amazed at what joy can get you through. You'd be amazed at what joy can make you do on his best day and on his worst day. Joy was Jesus' reason and Jesus' reward. And when you practice the disciplines of joy on your best days and on your worst days, you get to experience that same strength of hope, the strength of your resilience too. You would be amazed, right, at what joy can get you through. You're amazed at what joy can make you do. Now, what do I mean when I say that? Like I promised, we'd be talking about this. So how does generosity fit into all this? Some of you don't think about joy when you think about generosity, but every time you experience joy, what's your first impulse? You want to share it, right? You want to share it. This is why your kids send you memes. They want you to experience the same joy that kid felt about corn. This is why I send my kids memes about being a Gen X parent, because I want them to experience the same joy that I feel, knowing I was raised in the best generation. We have the best music and the best fashion, the best ladies' haircuts. Ladies, am I talking to anybody? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So the week before last, Jimmy talked about fasting, if you were here. Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching about fasting, and he says, when you fast, and listen, this is great. He says, when you fast, keep it to yourself. Joy is totally different. Yeah, joy is totally different than that. Jesus says, I have told you all this because I want my joy to be in you. I want my joy to be your joy. Folks, joy is meant to be shared. It's like Jesus is an Enneagram 7 for all of you. It doesn't matter. Jesus is like a super spreader, okay? So how about this? When I get surprised by joy, I don't really get surprised by joy. How about this one? Sorry, introverts. When I wake up in the morning and I am instantly overcome with joy and gratitude. Any other morning people? Yeah, maybe not. When I wake up literally every single morning, overcome with joy and gratitude, I can't wait to share it with my wife. My wife likes to wait. Like maybe just an hour or 2 hours, maybe just a couple days before she is ready to enter into my joy. And so I wake her up, and every morning I'll go downstairs and I'll make her a cup of tea to kind of help her along. And I know what you introverts are thinking. You're like, that is so nice. I know. It is so nice. She doesn't realize that for 26 years, I've been trying to kickstart her joy. I've been trying to give her that caffeinated kickstart and jumpstart every day, because whatever it takes, I want you guys, I want her to share in my joy, because that's how joy works. That's how joy works. So in Acts chapter 2, you can read about this scrappy young church with, I don't know, amazing preaching and people praying and God doing miracles, and the people there are unbelievable. So like people with two toasters would find someone with no toaster and they would give them a toaster. People with two houses would sell one of those houses and give the money to the church so that they can help people living with less. It says that they met together all the time and they shared everything they have. Here's my favorite part. They met in homes and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. It is like every day is Taco Tuesday and the band is playing and Anna's singing. And no matter what the season, people are praising God. And it says they're enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And the Lord added daily to their number. Daily, folks, everyone wants to be part of a community full of joy and generosity. Joy and generosity is the story of the Jesus-centered life, and it's the shape of a Jesus-centered church. Can I preach the announcement for a minute? All right, next week, I hope you know this. It's a pretty big deal around the Meeting House network of churches. Next Sunday, we are kicking off Peacemakers, the Peacemakers fundraising campaign in support of the amazing work of our friends at MCC. Mennonite Central Committee, MCC, works in countries all over the world doing whatever they can to share the love of God in very practical ways. So things like relief and development. They're finding whole communities are transformed because they train people in peacemaking skills, how to practice peace building skills. I'm saying these people are legends and we love partnering with them. So all across our network of churches, various sites are throwing parties and, you know, selling pancakes and charity auctions and all that kind of stuff. Well, If you guys come to TMH Waterloo Region on Sunday, May 26th, you can be with us for a little rhythm we have built up in the Waterloo Region. It's this. The last Sunday of every month is Soup Sunday, okay? That's what we do every month. Well, since May is Peacemakers, we've actually invited Stephen Roy from MCC to be with us, and we're having Taco Tuesday on Soup Sunday, and you're all invited. Seriously, you can have tacos, and you can have tacos. And if everybody who hears this comes, we won't have space, so please do reserve on our local events page. You can reserve your tickets. But if we're gonna have a ton of fun for a very good cause, and that's how this works. I know. Being generous is tons of fun when you've got lots of tacos. But when it feels like all you have is a little bit of leftover lettuce, it's not so fun. And I'll tell you, that's the truth. Friends, it takes a deeply rooted joy to sing the song of the Lord in a strange land. That's true, right? It takes a deeply rooted joy to be generous when times are tight. But it brings a special kind of joy in your life when you practice generosity, even when times are tight. One of Jesus' favorite stories to tell was about that surprising sacrificial generosity. I'm talking about the widow's mite. He stopped everything he was doing. He's like, Peter, guys, come over here. Shh, watch this. And they watched a woman giving out of her relative poverty. One of Paul's favorite stories to tell, 2 Corinthians 8. Let me read it for you. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They're being tested by many troubles. They are very poor, but they are also filled with an abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. They gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. In fact, they begged again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. Friends, what does it take? Like, what has to happen on the heart of a person to make them beg for an opportunity to give some of what little they have? Jesus says, I'm telling you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. I love this story. Tested by troubles, dirt poor, but their joy overflowed in rich generosity that inspired and impacted community after community, city after city. This is what happens when you build the habits of daily walking the path of Jesus, right? People start to recognize seasons of training and pruning as just part of the path. They become normal. This is part of the path. They face their stressful stuff with prayer and with gratitude. They learn contentment through fasting. They discover the fellowship of God when they practice silence and solitude. He's still with me. They find joy in generosity. Yeah, it makes no sense, but it's not nonsense. It's Jesus. And I hope that's not a stretch to you. I hope that doesn't come off as cliche. The more time you spend on the path, the more you'll start looking like Jesus, including discovering more of his joy inside of you. So how do we do that? How do you practice joy and generosity from wherever you are on the path right now? Maybe I'll speak to a few different people in the room or online watching this right now. First, if you haven't already, if you would say to me that you feel like you've lost your joy, I hope that you'll go back on our YouTube channel and check out Laura's message from April 7th on prayer and peace. It'll help you. It was so good. From what we've been talking about today, people ask me, and I actually think the answer is yes. I actually believe this. Practicing generosity in seasons of stress creates an environment for a different kind of joy to take root in your life. I think that's true. I do. Now, common sense alert. Please don't give away your rent. Like, that would be foolish. And please don't trust a guide that suggests to you, but Daryl, I saw it online. It doesn't matter where you see it. Don't give away your rent. That's common sense. But do find ways to be faithful and generous with the little that you've got. And I encourage you, make sure joy and generosity are part of your budget. However small, make sure it's part of your budget. So at TMH Waterloo, we've been cultivating this friendship with King Street Shelter. It's around the corner from us, homeless shelter. So we do coat drives and we do food drives and we collect chapstick and, you know, like deodorant and stuff like that, because that's the stuff that helps. So this year at Easter, one of our local legends had the idea that maybe the guests would like some Easter eggs, you know, just for fun. And so she bought a bunch of those little plastic Easter eggs that have room for like chocolate, but maybe even a little toy in them. You know what I'm talking about? So Tess at the shelter actually emailed us after this because she found these Easter eggs in our delivery of other stuff. And so she had all of her staff hide these Easter eggs all over the shelter. Like, can you even imagine what that looks like for 100 guests at a homeless shelter, running and jumping and laughing and crawling under cots looking for Easter eggs with little plastic frogs that jump when you, flipping frogs, free, you know, doesn't matter. Can you imagine? That is so good. What is the point? I'm telling you, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much when you share joy and generosity. You find more yourself. You find more yourself, and it doesn't take much. Okay, if that's not you, you're like, Daryl, that's not me. I'm actually pretty good. Things are pretty good. I'm kind of comfortable where I am. If that's you, I don't want you to miss out on this too. I don't want you to settle for middle class vanilla. I actually want you to catch a vision for this too. So remember John 15. The practice of pruning is part of the perfecting of joy. Do you remember that? So around here, we like to talk a lot about this value of simplicity. Now, I hope you know that the life of simplicity isn't, you know, solemn austerity or you know, stuff like that. It's actually all about having more joy and generosity to share. And so, you know, don't worry. I'm not trying to mess with your comfortable middle-class Christianity. I'm actually suggesting you sell it out completely, like trade comfortable middle-class Christianity. What does that look like? Trade it for something more simple, Jesus-centered simplicity. Here's what I want you to do. This is your challenge, and this is real. Dig through your closet and find some stuff to donate. If you really want to have fun, dig through your wife's closet and donate some of her stuff. Okay, don't do that. Gentlemen, look at me. That was a joke. Please don't do that. We don't need your emails. Okay. How about this? Go to the garage, find something you can sell so that you can escalate the joy and the generosity in your life. Why? Because if you just had the money and you could give it, that's fine. But if it comes at a sacrifice, it's more formative to you. So think about that expensive mountain bike that you bought so that you look good on the trail. If you look good on the trail, I'm not sure that you're doing it right. So sell that thing and use the money for something good. Use it for joy and generosity in something. Help the people around you is my point. Because simplicity isn't just a way of life. I want to suggest to you that simplicity is part of the spiritual practice of joy. Yeah, I think these two things are connected. And if you're part of that, not the comfortable middle class. I know some of you here, maybe you're part of that fortunate few, men or women of means, and for whatever reason, you enjoy a certain amount of wealth in this world. If that's you, you know, we might never know you by name, but I want to challenge you to pour all of your wisdom and all of your wealth into the local church. Yeah, I said that out loud. You know, the church is Jesus' only plan A. It is. It's the hope of the world. I think God gifts some people with resources, not just to plant gardens, but to multiply whole vineyards to help strengthen churches in cities not even their own. There's a rich tradition of patrons that have built the church through the ages, and we need those people here. This is what we're trying to build at the meeting house. And so if God's giving you wisdom about wealth or wealth itself, I want you to call Matt. He will buy you lunch. He didn't tell me I was allowed to say that. He will buy you lunch if you'll tell him that you wanna help what God is doing at the meeting house. And we might never tell your story, but you can make your mark. Now for all of you, all of us, no matter where you're sitting, no matter what you've been through, the stories that you could tell me, no matter what your hope is for the future ahead of you, I hope you know that any step you take in the direction of Jesus is a step in the direction of joy. Yeah, Jesus is the one who can fill that sensuk, that longing that exists in all of us for joy, to know real joy in our lives. Not just joy up ahead, but the kind that sticks with you no matter what part of the path you're on. And friends, Jesus, of course, is that joy. And that's what I want to be known for. Like six-pack abs and joy and generosity. What about you, Perry Sound, if you're watching? Joy and generosity. Downtown, High Park, Toronto East, joy and generosity. I heard that Prince Edward County actually bottles it up. They know how to share joy and generosity. And in the Hammer, everyone's got six-pack abs and joy and generosity. Let's pray. Let me pray for you. God, I'm praying for all of my friends across this network of churches, anybody watching on YouTube or online. May the God of hope right now fill you with all joy and peace, no matter where you are on the path, as you take a step and trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope, that joy would overflow into generosity, that God would share his love with you and you would share God's love by the power of the Holy Spirit around tables of friendship, and grace would be upon your house and your community for the glory of Jesus' name. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Amen.